right now on VFNT. We're going to talk about the Industrial Revolution, but also we're going to talk about the Artificial Intelligence Revolution. There's a new age here and that's coming. We have to prepare for it. Just like things changed, you know, early on with the Industrial Revolution, we moved from our muscle power to machine power. Now we're actually moving from our mind power to machines thinking more than we're thinking. I don't know. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about a prophetic dream the Lord gave me specifically about artificial intelligence, robots, and how they're not going to do what people said they're going to do, and how we have to have wisdom. And we're finally going to talk about what's it going to be like in the last days, the coming tribulation. Did God have to something to say about that? That's right. This is so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
So there was this robot. That's right. I'm talking about robots, the artificial intelligence. An encounter I had with the Lord. He showed me this prophetic encounter with artificial intelligence that was basically a robot that looked like its owner, and it was pushing its way in. But first, before I talk about all that, I want to be able to talk to you about the reality of where we're at right now. When you think about the Industrial Revolution, you know, prior to the Industrial Revolution, you know, where we made cotton by hand, we wove fabric by ourselves with a loom. You know, we had a personal loom where somebody would thread back and forth to make the loom. And then all of a sudden, the Industrial Revolution came where you can go to this factory and make massive amounts of paper, massive amounts of clothing, massive amounts of cotton. It just changed everything. As a matter of fact, I want you to take a look at how flat the growth curve was for since the beginning of time to all of a sudden the Industrial Revolution. You look at this graph right here, you can see it, how all of a sudden there's something that happened around, you know, 1500, 1700. That was the Industrial Revolution kicking in right there. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear right now Andrew McAfee as he's talking specifically about this graph and the Industrial Revolution.
So I wish I had drawn this graph.
The graph uses a formula to show human development and growth since 2000 BCE.
The state of human civilization is not very advanced, and it's not getting better very quickly at all. And this is true for thousands and thousands of years. When we formed empires and empires got overturned, when we tried democracy, when we invented zero and mathematics and fundamental discoveries about the universe, big deal. It just, the numbers don't change very much. What's weird is that the numbers change essentially in the blink of an eye at one point in time, and it goes from really horizontal, unchanging, uninteresting to holy Toledo, crazy vertical. And then the question is, what on earth happened to cause that change? And the answer is the Industrial Revolution. There were other things that happened, but really what fundamentally happened is we overcame the limitations of our muscle power. Something equally interesting is happening right now.
So what happened? We overcame, he says, the limitations of our strength, our muscle power, the Industrial Revolution. So everything was done by strength. Till suddenly we had a machine through hydraulics, through mechanisms to be able to do something that we couldn't do ourselves physically. It would take, for example, everything was on horses and horseback and horse-drawn. And, you know, if two horsepower meant back then to have two horses pulling your carriage. You know, 300 horsepower means you have 300 horses in front of you pulling your carriage. But now we have 300 horses under the hood of our car. It's the Industrial Revolution, that the power of 300 horses pulling your car down the road is inside under your hood and your motor. I mean, think about that. That's powerful. So the Industrial Revolution came, and all of a sudden you see this huge growth. That can only happen if God allows that to happen on the face of the earth. And so all of a sudden this thing happened. But I'm talking not only about that, I'm talking specifically about we're in a time and age right now where that we're overcoming the limitations of our minds, and that could be good or bad. First, let's listen.
We are overcoming the limitations of our minds. We're not getting rid of them. We're not making them unnecessary. But holy cow, can we leverage them and amplify them now? You have to be a huge pessimist not to find that profoundly good news.
Or instead of pessimist, you can be wise and understand that what God, our God who created the heavens and the earth and the universe and created us, and he says that we're to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And when you're talking about overcoming your mind, it's different when you're talking about overcoming a bicep or overcoming a tricep or overcoming some muscle group. When you're talking about overcoming your mind, you know, the thing that God gives you, your soul, when you're talking about how you function, you know, what you think, what you want, and what you feel, that's some touchy ground. And so you saw the graph. Let's look back at the graph again during the industrial age, what took place. That first graph, if you put that first graph up. And so you're looking, you know, for since the 2000 BC, that's what took place. And all of a sudden, when the industrial age came in, all of a sudden everything shot way up in the ability to be able to produce because we weren't limited anymore to our strength, our muscle. We had this technology to be able to do that. But now look at this graph. Now, this is just a graph to understand where we're at right now. If you look at the human knowledge growing out in the red line, in the red straight line, that's us getting smarter and smarter and smarter. But if you look at the blue line, that basically represents artificial intelligence or human knowledge or machine learning. And so look, it's just surpassing our ability, you know, and the Word of God says knowledge puffs you up. Knowledge makes you prideful. There's so many people that believe that knowledge is wisdom. They believe they don't know anything, but they can Google it and they can find out in about 5 seconds, but they actually find out what was known by someone else. They didn't know that. So they think they know that, but if you unplug technology, they wouldn't know that. As a matter of fact, there's people, some reports are that they're getting, you know, more ignorant. They don't. People. We have like 70% of African American children or boys, I believe, in California can't even read now with this technology. People are not—they're not reading anymore. They're not learning anymore because they're looking to technology to already know it for them, which means they're leaving you behind. If somebody says, "I got a great idea for your company, I will run your company, and then you won't have to do anything," a fool would say yes because you have to understand he's going to take off with your company. Because eventually you're going to be irrelevant. If you turn your mind over, if you turn your mind over to allow these other things to think for you, you got to really think about this. And Brad Smith with Microsoft, you know, he talks about how AI is reshaping everything. Artificial intelligence, machine learning is reshaping everything in business, in government. As a matter of fact, listen to what he has to say about it.
I really do think the world has entered a new era. Artificial intelligence holds so much promise, but it's going to reshape every aspect of the economy, so many aspects of our lives, because AI is a little bit like electricity. Everybody's going to use it. Every company is going to be incorporating AI, integrating it into what they do. Governments are going to be using it. Nonprofit organizations are going to be using it. It's going to create all kinds of benefits in ways large and small and challenges for us as well.
So he's basically saying that it's going to be like oxygen. It's going to be everywhere. Everybody's using it like electricity. Well, I mean, it makes life easier. Obviously, the industrial age made, you know, a lot less stress on human beings to be able to have clothing and have cars and have houses and that type of thing. And it will make things easier, but you have to understand, you have to think about, you know, these are times that require wisdom. We have to really think this thing through and pray it through and seek the Lord in this. We have 4G technology, the fourth generation wireless technology that you probably have on your phone now, and maybe some of you have 5G. But it's going to take 5G, the fifth generation technology, which is just rapidly much bigger than fourth generation. And the key to that 5G technology is there's very micro, just very little latency or delay. So if you push a button here in California or here in Florida, for example, and you're trying to do something in China, the second you push that button, it happens, which means somebody could do surgery in New York virtually on somebody who's in the battlefield in Iraq or Afghanistan. But also that's going to enable driverless cars where 5G technology will allow cars to be able to get the knowledge that the information they got to have what's taking place to be able to be able to have driverless cars. We'll say, well, it took a long time to get 4G towers put up, but guess what? They're talking about 3 years is all it would take for 5G to get established because it's a whole different type of system. The waves that, go through the air in much shorter waves, which means the tenants have to be closer together. So they'll be like posted on buildings and your windows and different things like that. So they said it's like 3 years. We're probably looking at, you know, 2021, 2022, something like that. We're in a time where this whole shifting is taking place. If you watch our previous program with Kenneth Copeland, where God's saying specifically that the heavenly host, though not the heavenly host, but the cloud of witnesses under the leadership of Jesus is holding back the change that's coming. It's almost like this new age is coming. Not new age type stuff, but this new where you went from the non-industrial age to you went to the industrial age. That was a shift. And now we've gone from our working out of our own minds and our own strength of our own thought to all of a sudden now things can actually know more than us, you know? And, you know, if you're smart, you do hire people that's smarter than you to be able to do some things, but you don't surrender your mind over. Listen, we're going to come right back after this break. Comment below. We love hearing from you. Remember, comment below, share your thoughts, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Join the 45,000 plus folks that have joined and subscribe to our channel so you'll be connected all the time, including the 1.4 plus million hours watched on our YouTube channel. It's exciting days. We'll be right back after the break.
We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
God is trying his best to build trust in us, to convince us that he's dependable and that he is trustable. Don't you know that anybody can sing a song of deliverance after they've been delivered? God is not surprised at where you are. God is not surprised at the predicament you're in. And God has brought many of you to the place where you are right now, and he's going to bring you out of it with a great victory. We've seen so many miracles that God has done for us through the years. I want to ask you a question. How many more will it take for you to believe that God is going to take care of you? So here's what God's saying is, when I bring you to the Red Sea, I want you to learn to sing before the sea parts. Don't sing it after you get on the other side. Praise him right now. Praise God right now. I'm going out with a song, praising God, glorifying God. Oh my.
Minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. We were supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst, that we really could walk away with greater courage.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights. But it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, the Lord spoke to me specifically about this. He spoke to me in a dream. He said, and show me about artificial intelligence. And everybody talks about artificial intelligence. They go, most people go like, this is great. This is wonderful. You'll have more free time, and that, you know, it will, it's not going to harm anybody. You know, it will actually make better decisions to you. It will drive safer than you. And they talk about these different things. It's like they know. But the truth is they don't know. Nobody knows. We don't ever know, you know, what's going to happen when we open specific things. We find out over a period of time. Doctors practice medicine. They don't know everything. And that same thing with technologists, the very same thing. And so there's good and there's bad. But God showed me this. So here I was in this dream, and I'm walking up, and I'm looking for something to eat. And I had to get to work, had to be there at 3 o'clock, I believe it was, 3 o'clock. And I had about 30 minutes, and I'm looking, and I find some different things. It's just junk food, and we're going through like a marketplace, I guess you would, in this building. And I'm looking here, I find junk food, I look over here, I find junk food. And finally, I went to this other counter, and they were like a bakery-type counter. I had glass in front of it, and I was picking, trying to look in there. I said, that's bread, that's all carbohydrates. I need something that's going to give me long-lasting energy. And I said, there's some nut bread, like there were some nuts in there. And I thought, that's some protein that'll help carry me over through the day. And I was going to get this particular bread. So I'm standing there waiting for somebody to come from the other side of the counter, and there was nobody there. So imagine I'm standing at a counter. I see the thing I want to buy, and I want to talk to the person who wants to sell it, buy and sell. They're not there yet. All of a sudden, a young lady shows up, just happened to be an African-American young lady, but a young lady shows up, very young, probably in her 20s. And she shows up, and she's just, you know, looking in the window like I was looking in the window, oblivious that I was even standing there. But next thing you know, a artificial intelligence, you call it a robot, it wasn't exactly like her, but it was her artificial intelligence. It was her robot, basically. And it literally came in and squoze itself in between me and her. And I'm like, whoa, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of strange, right? But it had no idea I was there. It did not even give place to me. It did not even acknowledge me. People say, oh, it's going to protect you. It's going to keep you safe. It's going to not hurt human beings. It's like, it didn't even care that I existed, right? And so I kind of stepped back a little bit like this, and I saw it. And now the girl's on the other side of her artificial intelligent robot that looks like her, that, and she's just looking in for stuff to buy like I was. And so I just reached back and grabbed the shoulder of this robot, and I kind of just pushed it slightly. Because I'm thinking, you're telling me that all this artificial intelligence will know that we're human. It'll make way for us. It won't run over us. It won't do all this stuff to us. And the thing just kind of went like this a little bit and just kept focused like that. I'm like, my goodness. So then I came back a little bit more and I took it. You got to know Pat Hamilton. I gave it a Pat Hamilton push. I'm like, I got to find out. This thing even knows I'm here, how it's going to respond to me, right? So I take it and I just shove it real hard on the shoulder. And it kind of goes like this. And it goes back up like this. And it squeezes itself back in between me and her. I'm like, my goodness, this thing is not responding to us. And so then I stepped back and I took its hand, and it had like almost like a human hand. I took the hand and I was going to try compassion to see if I was compassionate with it. And I was like, you know, I'm here, you know, will you respond to me? And literally it did not respond. Listen, we are about to go into an arena that we don't know a lot about. And a handful of people who do know something about it, some of the reports are, Glenn Beck talked about this. He said that he went and talked to the people in Silicon Valley and said they were really concerned about people in the society who are going to lose their jobs because of AI, artificial intelligence, because of machine learning. They're scared that they're going to take pitchforks and torches and come after them. Well, I thought, what are you talking about? That wouldn't happen. But I'm now realizing maybe God's showing us that specifically that this thing is going to be so dominant and so present, you know, that it will just totally ignore human beings. It's like, you're going to have to find something else to do. But guess what? That's in the marketplace. It's a place of buying and selling. That was a place to be able to buy your food. And we talk about that in the beast economy is going on, taking over, that you can't buy or sell without having this particular mark. And it was literally preventing me from being able to get some food and buy some protein to be able to go to work. The next thing you know, I looked at my watch and I'm like, oh my goodness, I got 1 minute till 3 o'clock. I got to get there. And so this stuff's just going to distract you and create confusion. And it's going to be, and so then I'm going to go to my particular job. And I realized that this thing was just basically causing, this is what it can do. So many people think what they're looking at is their unique experience, that nobody's is creating that experience for them. But artificial intelligence, through a creative program called logarithms, are creating behavior modifications to us. We have to be smarter than that. We have to understand that these are just computers, but they're being programmed by Biff in California, who's running these computers. It's not just an innocent thing. So we have to begin to say, get wisdom. I think about, you know, they say, well, the driverless cars are not going to hurt nobody. This is not going to happen. The car is going to be able to know everything about everybody, and it's going to know who that person is, and it'll move out of the way. It's like, from what God just showed me in this dream, which makes a lot of sense, that this computer, this program, this robot was locked into its owner. It only cared about its owner, and the owner didn't care about you. If the owner didn't care about you, you didn't exist. If they were narcissistic, focused on themselves, they're not going to realize what their artificial intelligence is doing to others. The Lord has shown me several times like this, where people are just basically are going to be just in this zone where they don't realize life's going on, and that you got to pay attention, that you can't, you know, God's people have to move in wisdom. I mean, you have the generation, the population of the earth, but in regards to those that are the Lord's, Christians, followers of Christ, we have to listen to our Lord, and those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. It's God's Spirit speaking to us. And I think about Revelations chapter 13. You know, talking about the future right here, and I'm reading from the ESV. He says, I saw a beast rising out of the sea, which is humanity, with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems in his horns, and blasphemous statements on his head. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, and his feet was like a bear, and his mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to this particular thing, the dragon or Satan gave his power. So Satan gave his power to it, and his throne and his authority. So Satan turns over his throne and authority to this thing. One of its heads seemed to have been wounded, mortally wounded, and its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled at this particular healing and followed this beast, and they worshiped this dragon, the thing that Satan gave his power to, for he was given authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like this beast, and who can fight against us? You think this thing is far-fetched, right? It's like, oh, we're kind of seeing this stuff. Verse 5, because now we're seeing this technology rise up. We're seeing it actually act human-like. And in verse 5, he says, and the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. That's 3.5 years, half of the tribulation. He said, it opens its mouth to utter blasphemous things against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling. That is, those who dwell in heaven. So he's blaspheming those who dwell in heaven, which is a good sign. It's like, are we here? Are we there? So he's blaspheming those who dwell in heaven. And it was allowed to make war on the saints. That bothered me, because that means there must be saints here on earth, right? And it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given over every tribe, people, language, and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundations of the world in the Lamb's Book of Life, or the life of the Lamb, as ESV says, who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he will go. If anyone is to be slain with a sword, he must be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Listen, so we have to endure this. We have to have faith. And if you're a believer, you're one of the saints. So it looks like we're in this season, right? Verse 11, then I saw another beast rising up out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wounds were healed. It performed great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to the earth in front of the people. And by the signs that is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image. It was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might begin to speak. Artificial intelligence, robots, this all this stuff's beginning to speak. It might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. So if you don't worship it, you're going to die. Also, it caused all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark. Remember, I'm sitting at that place of the marketplace, and I'm trying to sell and buy, trying to buy bread, you know, trying to buy some bread with protein. There wasn't anybody back there, the android. It's like, you can't buy or sell without this technology. And he says, that is the name. And he says, so that no one can buy or sell unless they have the particular mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. I mean, we're in this time. It's a beast economy. When this technology, these present guys, ladies and guys, they might not know that, but we're moving into this time. You got to really pay close attention. These are days that a great harvest is coming in. I don't know how much longer we have before our Lord returns. Things happen very quickly. The whole tribulation is a 7-year period cut in half by 3.5 years. So it can be quick. It can be. The question I want to ask you is, are you ready? Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Are you ready? Listen, you can be one of the saints. Listen, if you're not, you can be deceived. But if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he will lead you. If you become his disciple, he will lead you. You abide with him, he will lead you. But you got to say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. The Son of God, the one who came and lived a sinless life, who died on the cross for your sins, who's now raised from the dead 3 days later and sits at the right hand of the Father. I want you to call out to him. But that's you. I want you to pray right now. Say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. That's right. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Come live in my heart. That's right. I want you, Lord. I'm all yours, God. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins. Wash me, Lord. Bring me into the family, Lord. I want to be ready to be with you forever in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Listen, you're going to be one of the saints. You're one of the ones that are going to be able to discern what's going on. You're going to understand, because those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, to find out some more details, to be able to find out, you know, the decision you made. We got some things for you right there. Welcome to the family of God. Well, I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I pray a blessing over our audience, Lord. Encourage them. And thank you for those who just gave their life to the Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord, we pray, in this day. And dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God. Love others and lead others to the same. And we'll see you in the VFNKB community.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.